Welcome to the 258th episode of the Towel Light Talk podcast. This is Chris.
This is Casey.
And we are back chatting up all of the latest in the geekly news, my friend. So how have you been and what are you geeking out about?
Been good. You know, some reason in Western New York, it's endless summer. It's still nice. Like it's in the 70s. Feels like almost like, I don't know. It's weird right now.
Enjoy it while you have it.
I know, right? Which is exactly what I'm thinking. So anyway, so that's been good. We've actually been getting outside. But when I've been inside, lately been on the Steam Next Fest. And just finding some insanely good games that I'm going to be spending some money on because a lot of the ones that I like are coming out this month. So, you know, you and I have been playing, we've been playing, what is it?
Karate Survivor.
Yeah, Karate Survivor.
So yeah. Our little Vampire Survivor clones, Yotun Slayer.
Yeah.
Just freaking amazing.
Yeah, so geeking out on the indie, you know, I like AAA games, obviously, but it's quite funny when I look through the year end of games played, it's typically the indie stuff, like last year was Sea of Stars, you know, and this year I have a feeling I'm going to get some more indie titles on there. It's, you know, I just don't, for whatever reason, maybe because it's on the deck and it's easier, you know, the gameplay than I don't necessarily need 16, 8 bits up on my giant TV. It's cool. You know what I mean? But I kind of have a different experience with it. So, yeah, it's been a good time for gaming.
Yeah, I mean, it's either it's sitting in my hand or it's on the TV and it looks great anyways.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it's just the satisfaction I get from these indies is much, much better in years past. And it's just, it's cheaper. Sometimes there's just free games.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a really amazing system. And I'm really, you know, it's just like moving forward. I'll always buy it like a PlayStation, but
of course
I don't need anything in between anymore. Or like it's an awesome thing. And, I just keep like searching the store for more and more stuff.
Oh, wait till, have you had a Steam sale yet with this thing?
Oh yeah.
It's just,
I had that over the summer, but I mean, Humble Bundles that we've always been fans of.
Yeah. Humble Bundles, yep. GOG, you know, Amazon's throwing out free games. Epic throws out free games. It's crazy.
Exactly. The publisher sale, like they're insane. Like I just did the Resident Evil one. I got like 4 or 5 Resident Evil titles for really cheap, including 8, which I've been wanting to play. So it's like,
heck yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's amazing. I've also been watching some Halloween stuff. It is that month.
That's right. Yep.
I watched Abigail last night, which was a lot of fun. It was
finally
cracked me up. It was a really funny.
I love
movie.
That movie.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite movies this year, and I just haven't, not a lot of people have watched it. Now they are because it's on Max, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else? We watched Salem's Lot, which was okay. It was all right. It could be a twice as long. And I know people argue like, oh, well, the original was so long. Well, that's because there's story to it and character development and things like that, which, you know what?
Yep.
This movie looked great. It was fun, but it definitely like skips over so much important things from the Stephen King novel as far as characters go. So
it feels
there's
empty.
That balance. It does. It feels kind of
like at the end, you're just like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. So hopefully we get like a director's cut, which apparently is out there. So we will see. So everybody keep enjoying your Halloween movies this month. About halfway. More than halfway through the month already. That's crazy. So anyways.
Yeah.
On to our next section of people who have passed. It's been kind of a rough month for pop culture stars out there. We had Maggie Smith from Harry Potter, Downton Abbey, and a slew of other films. Great actress.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting to our age where people are getting old, and you know, our concentration on pop culture is unlike anything like our parents, anything like that before. So we have a lot of people that mean things to us in our lives, and we see this. This is just, it's like a, it's like the Indiana Jones ball and Raiders. So
yeah, yeah.
Life is chasing them down. Chris Christopherson, musician, Blade mentor. You know, another one there. Just, you know, a lot of talent and passing on. This one, Ken Page, who did voices for Oogie Boogie, the bad guy from The Frock of the Prince, right? All of these, like,
yeah. Yeah, he's on Cats, Ain't All Dogs Go to Heaven. You know, he was, I guess, Oogie Boogie's the most popular, just kind of like James Earl Jones, like Darth Vader's the most popular. But these guys are also trained actors, and they've got an extensive resume. And, you know, my daughter, Oogie Boogie's like her favorite character, and I told her about it, and she got all sad. I was like, yeah, you know. But we'll listen to the music and we'll enjoy, you know, what these talented people do.
Absolutely. And then last up, John Amos, Coming to America, Roots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good Times, and more. So all of these prolific actors, actresses, we'll give them a moment of silence and remember what they gave us. All right, so let's get into it, because this weekend is New York Comic Con. It's a show that you and I frequented a lot in the past, something that really shaped our show, I think. It was the first...
Don't forget a towel.
That's the show, and don't forget a towel. That's what I'm saying. It's just in our lives. You know, I was living down in New York City. You'd come down, visit, and we'd go to that show, and... We end up starting to get press passes for it, doing our interviews there. So a lot of fond memories of that show. Now I'm thousands of miles away, and that lives in our
memories. We will do it again someday.
We should, because it's always fun to visit New York City. But the news for this show will be kind of scattered throughout as we talk about our different topics. And so we'll get to all that, but let's jump into the Marvel train. We got our first trailer of Thunderbolts, which looks like a lot of fun.
It does. You know,
it does, right? Are you ready for the MCU to get back on track?
I don't think this is it. I don't think this is the thing. I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine, great. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Thunderbolts is the next one, or is Cap next?
I don't know.
I think Cap is next, actually.
Well, there you go. That'll get it back on track.
So, yeah, I think Thunderbolts is going to be one of those weird left field things. Like, it could work like Shang-Chi, but does it mean anything? You know, like, or like even Scarlet or Black Widow. It's like, it's a fun movie, but it doesn't really do anything to move forward this stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what their bigger plans are with these characters.
Yeah, the problem with Black Widow is it kind of was a prequel, so it kind of just brought you
back. Yeah, it needed back to come out 10 years ago.
Right, got released at a weird time during COVID. So this one has a lot of fan favorites and, you know, the next steps for a lot of the other characters. Plus, I don't know what they're going to do with the Sentry. So it's just kind of exciting to see this. It looks very Suicide Squad, of course. You know, it's all around the same idea. And then that little asterisk kind of is quite like... very questionable of what they're going to do and why they put that there. So will we get more villains in this, you know, with our actual the Thunderbolts and things like that? So, I mean, they are granted, but what else is coming from this movie? So a lot of questions there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We knew that Magic the Gathering, the Marvel onslaught is coming. What we didn't know was that these teases that we've been seeing recently online and whatnot are actually part of the upcoming Secret Lair that is dropping on November 4th with 5 drops featuring 5 characters and a bunch of cards from that. New cards, reprints. What do you think, bud?
I think what they did it in a really good way. Like, you say there's going to be a bigger set, right? Like, Well, we'll talk about coming down the road. We'll
talk about that in a second.
Right. Like, okay. Yes. So I'm okay with them doing it in this way. If this is it, I do feel. Yeah, I know. It's probably going to be a bunch more. I'll just say this. The fact that they created the five new commanders, basically, for this, and they don't usually do that with Secret Lair. It's usually just reprints. That right there means that every single one of these packs is going to have value. Like, if you already see some of the reprinted cards, they already have more value than the Duskmourne set, which is why I passed on it, and the Bloomburrow set before it. Like, you know, the value of the cards didn't add up to the art. And for me, I was like, okay, whatever. But this one, it actually, every single set, there's some $15 cards in there. And then you had in the Commander, which who knows how wild those prices are going to get. They will probably all be worth $15-$20 on their own that just paid for it. So, yeah, it's a great idea. I guess I'm more worried about my wallet.
Yeah, I mean, plus these are already up $10 over the original, like the regular price of Secret Lair, mm-hmm. which is insane to me. Like, each of these foils are $49.99, and then the regular ones are $39.99. So it's really like this bump up that's questionable. At the same time, I mean, they're smart about it, but it's also kind of like a punch in the gut where it's like, hey, we're gonna give you five drops at like, and if you want those foils, it's $50 per. You gotta get a discount on them, but I'm not buying them all.
I didn't realize they were 50 each.
Yeah, they put the price up on them. So
I don't like foils. So
that's, that's up to you. But I mean, again, it's also $10 up on the regular ones too.
Yeah.
So regardless of it, it's still kind of like, hey, they're doing this money grab because it is going to be very popular. Limited stock. Get in line on the 4th because these will sell out immediately. To your point, this is not the only Marvel thing we'll get. And now it's even scarier because there was like this tease for Marvel's Spider-Man Magic the Gathering that came out coming 2025, which begs the question, is Spider-Man its own Magic the Gathering release? Is it its own Secret Lair? Is it going to be a small like Assassin's Creed set? And then they're going to do even more Marvel stuff, because I don't think that they're going to stop with just a Marvel drop. I feel like they're going to milk this for all of its worth, and you're going to have this whole sub-series of Magic the Gathering that's the Marvel Universe.
That's what kind of scares me, because I'm a huge Marvel fan, so I'm going to want this, but it also
Spider-Man
kind
alone.
Of, right, Spider-Man alone, that's a no-brainer. I'll get every single one of those cards. But it's like, is it Magic? You know?
No, it's like versus.
You just... right, but I'm saying, like, you just created Hasbro, Wizards did that Star Wars thing. Just do it, you know what I mean? Like, just go do something else. Why do you have to take over Magic? That's where I'm kind of like, these things are cool. I can see dinosaurs kind of making their way into fantasy worlds and stuff, and I get you're a wizard and blah 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 blah, blah. But I kind of feel like, keep it more fantasy based.
Yeah, you're not the only one that says that. And it's true too. Like, these, like a subset, fine. Like what they did with Assassin's Creed, you want to do that stuff with like some of those, the rogues, the pirates. They've all been in this part of this game, but don't go so like do a small release for like the collector who's like, all right, I'll get these just because of what they are. Don't make it dominate the game, where it's like thousands of cards are going to be in Marvel based now. They have Versus out there. So now you're going to be competing against your own product, more or less, not Magic, but Marvel. What happens there? You know? So my biggest thing with this is like, I might take a hard stance and not buy a lot of these, because I'm just already pissed off enough that I tried to play a superhero card game once and it got, you know, shut down, and then like I have worthless cards, which Magic will never be like that. But to your point, like, I'm in it because I love D&D, I love fantasy gaming, and this is like kind of where it's getting away from. Yeah, there's ninjas and cyberpunk stuff and other things in Magic, but I mean, that's the nice thing about these multiverse. But to put these name brands in, it just gets It's a little messy. So nonetheless, we'll probably buy them all.
We'll buy all of them. Yeah,
and then in comic book news, you know, it's funny. There's not a whole lot that I got on this show that I could find from New York Comic Con for some reason. DC is different, but
DC had a lot. Yeah.
Marvel, we get a little bit of a old man Logan treatment for Matt Murdock. It's called Daredevil Cold Day in Hell. Charles Soule is returning to write the character. And he will be joined by our favorite Steve McNiven. And this one is being, it'll be set in the Marvel Universe future on the brink of collapse. It introduces a grizzled older version of Matt Murdock. Yeah, so I love these kind of books. I will be checking this out.
Yeah, I like the old man treatment. Kind of weird they haven't been doing more of it. You know what I mean? Like, in general, like, why didn't we ever just see Hawkeye's adventures from the Mark Millar, like, et cetera?
We did.
Like, I know they showed up in Old Man Logan comic, right?
They did them. A couple of years ago, they were doing this big push with when Old Man Logan got introduced during Secret Wars, I believe.
Yep.
And so
I remember that.
You guys on run. Then they gave Hawkeye his own little run. I think Lemire wrote it.
Okay.
And then there was a couple others. So they had this little time period where they did a bunch of them.
2018. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were good. I liked them. And it looks like they're revisiting it because honestly, man, it's as much as like continuity is important to people, you, I, many other people, especially with this Absolute World out here now and the new Ultimate Universe doing really interesting things. These Elseworld tales, they're more fun sometimes when you're not bogged down with storylines that people argue about. So
yeah, I absolutely agree. I was just gonna say, there's this one other piece of Marvel comic news, which is the rise of Emperor Doom.
Yes.
Written by Ryan North. And this is going to be part of a giant event where Dr. Doom becomes the emperor of the Marvel universe starting in February. So see more Doom as the Sorcerer Supreme doing more evil things, and I can't wait. Love Doom.
Yeah, I mean, Doom's going to take huge center stage within the next, you know, year or so, especially with the MCU and stuff. Mm-hmm. So get ready for more Doom, which nobody can argue against. Jumping across the pond, Lanterns, the HBO quote-unquote True Detective style series, is in full accelerator mode, and we're getting two big casting news from that. We got Kyle Chandler is cast as Hal Jordan, and then Aaron Pierre is Jon Stewart. So they've set up the stars. We have the plot point of there's been this murder in the Midwest of the United States, and these lanterns have to go and explore it, right, and figure out what's happening. So this sounds exciting because, yes, Green Lanterns are big intergalactic police officers. Like, there's a lot of stories that can be told out in the cosmos. But again, we have Earth-based lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
And so what kind of story are they going to come up with that affects Earth, that has happened on Earth? Who's dead? You know, it could be a number of things, as far as like an alien or something like that, that's been found dead or whatever. That's the simplest idea. But as they move forward with DC films and all of this stuff, it's really exciting to see them approaching this from so many different fronts. And now we have three of our main Earth lanterns already set up and put in place for this universe.
This is, this is just great news. We've been hearing about lanterns for 10 years or so, you know, so finally let's see this. I can't wait to see this show.
And then also Supergirl, based on Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. We have a casting, and it's Matthias Schoenaerts. You know how we do names close around enough here. And we believe that he's been cast as the villain in the movie. What do you think about this?
It's fine. I've seen him in just kind of random things. I think he's a good actor. And I think this role is a really cool role. I mean, like we've said, this is True Grit in space. And I think, you know, he'll be able to pull it off. I like that it's not big actors, quite honestly. You know? Yeah, that's right. He was in The Old Guard.
Yes.
I think he ended up being that bad guy. So, and he's a bad guy. So here we go.
Awesome. Typecasting. we know that Supergirl will show up in Superman, but also Alan Tudyk, who's been numerous roles in the DC universe, voice actor and more. He's been cast as a mystery role in Superman, which whatever.
Added to the other 100 random DC characters we're about to see in this movie.
Exactly. Welcome to the party. But we also got an official tease from James Gunn and picture of Crypto the Super Dog, and it's super cute.
Yeah, it was a cute picture. That's fine. Just give me a trailer. I'm surprised they didn't show some footage.
Right? I'm really surprised they haven't shown anything yet. But
do we have any other DC projects that they can throw a trailer on for Superman, or is this kind of it?
I don't know. I mean, Creature Commandos is dropping in December, which, no. You know, this is the first movie. You know, this is the first movie of the new age. And really, I mean, Superman can go on any movie, in front of any movie, and people are going to be like, it's Superman. So it's not like they don't need something specific to put it in front of, because the world is going to go see Superman. Non-comic book fan, you know, it's Superman. So it's going to be able to do its own. It's going to be able to stand on its own. And so it could drop at any time. I'm sure it's going to drop around like Christmas time.
Yeah, which would be great. Mm-hmm. Lead us into the new year.
Exactly. We got an announcement, and this is, they said like the idea of the DC films is going to be like a little fluid. And that's the most recent statement where we might have announced some projects, but they might fall off while we add others. And one of them is Dynamic Duo, which looks to be, it's going to be a theatrical release. It's going to be an animated film, and it's going to feature Dick Grayson and Jason Todd. And this is an interesting approach because, yes, we have an established world already. We don't have a Batman yet, which is another kind of interesting point when it comes to this. And we've been hearing about these little rumors about like a Deathstroke and Bane movie, where they're going to be a combo in a movie. And I believe this is what they were talking about. I haven't heard anything since then, but that would make a lot of sense if those two were actually the villains of this movie. And that gets me even more excited.
Yeah, I didn't. So animation, puppetry, CGI combination.
Puppetry.
See what that looks like. What? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, people got to keep changing the new animation to keep up with, you know, what we've seen, like Wild Robot. Like, I saw that this summer. It was beautiful, and it looked like a watercolor come to life. And turtles look like claymation. And obviously, we got Into the Spider-Verse, and those things are just on another level. So it's like these studios keep pushing things. Like, and DC does animation leaps and bounds above, you know, most other. We didn't even really talk, like, that Creatures Commando trailer was awesome, super fun.
Yeah,
you know. James Gunn was all over it. So yeah, it looks like a good time.
Also, I mean, I keep forgetting it's a series, Creature Commando, and it's drops just over a month from now, and it looks super mature, you know. And it's like, it doesn't seem like they're pulling any punches when it comes to telling stories when the way they should be told, you know. There's going to be family friendly. There's going to be mature, and the launch of this universe being Creature Commandos is super interesting. But yeah, that trailer was badass. It was super badass. So looking forward to it. And we'll see how it starts next in December. Guess what? Vertigo, the imprint is back.
It left.
It died. The one of many deaths, and just like in comic books, the greatest things return. So they're bringing it back. It's launching with Nice House by the Sea, which we've talked about already on the show. And this is going to be, you know, it's shuttered in 2020, which, you know, what happened to Black Label and some other things that they've tried? Black Label is fun, but why are you doing this weird stuff when you had this established? I don't know, try new things. But Vertigo is going to aim to be much more open to creator owned projects, which, you know, is awesome.
Sure. I don't even know why Tinian, like, it's a weird title, because isn't it the same thing as that Image title, The Nice House by the Lake? So is this a continuation of that series that he already has going on?
Mm-hmm. It's good. Or it's another
iteration, but it's like now you're on a whole other label. I guess the fans are going to follow it, but I don't know. Sure. Vertigo comes back. Black Label, which was also fine, is gone. Presumably they're interchangeable at this point, so I don't really care.
So Nice House by the Lake was put out by DC Comics.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a great comic. Yes. Just keep it going.
Yes. I just, Vertigo. But that's it, right? So creator owned, I think it's you should be happy about anything that says that. So, I mean, the more they push that kind of things, it's just like, we know what happens when it gets bogged down with superheroes and all that stuff. And you know what? Vertigo is nostalgic to all of us going back to our childhood. So
for sure.
Why create the new things when something's not broken? I don't know. It's back. If you're excited for Peacemaker season 2, well, we've got something for you here. It's called Peacemaker Presents the Vigilante Eagly double feature. It's 5 issues from Tim Seeley, Mitch Gerard, Rex Ugel, and Matteo Loli. It's a prequel to Peacemaker season 2, and James Gunn is on story consulting. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey, character's fun. I like to see their more wacky adventures. Sure, let's see what happens from this.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of wacky adventures, if you haven't read Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong, it's a lot of fun. It's so much fun that they're bringing it back for round 2 with more kaiju and more superhero antics galore. So, you know, look forward to that. They just announced that at New York Comic Con.
Totally cool.
Yeah, I picked up the graphic novel of the first one. I bought all the issues. Or did I? No, I actually didn't buy the issues. I bought a couple of the cool variants that came with it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then last up, we've been talking about the Absolute line, the new Elseworlds. You know, here we go again. Like, what are these little imprints? But the Absolute line is going to add some more titles coming in 2025, including Absolute Martian Manhunter, Absolute Green Lantern, and Absolute Flash. We're right around the release. Batman just came out. Wonder Woman comes out this week. Superman comes out in a couple of weeks. So they're going all in. And these creative teams are continuing to impress as well.
Yeah, it takes a while for me to get brought back into comics in this kind of way, but it does sound pretty rad. And I definitely want to, like, I got Absolute Batman. I pre-ordered Superman. Let's in Wonder Woman. So yeah, I'm in to see what they come up with.
Absolutely. Let's jump over that galaxy far, far away. Let's talk a little bit about Star Wars. Not a whole lot, except just some comics to talk about. There's a comic dropping in January, a one-shot, Star Wars, A New Legacy. It's going to mark 10 years of Marvel Comics hosting the Star Wars label ever since that Disney took over. This one, it's going to be dropping. It will feature all new stories from Charles Soule, Jason Aaron, Karen Gillan, and more. So these creators who, you know, helped launch the whole universe are coming back to write about, you know, Darth Vader, of course, Task Force 99, Dr. Aphra, our dark droids, a lot of this cool stuff that you know, have kind of been featured in the stories that have been told in the last decade. And it being a decade now is kind of insane. makes me feel old.
Yeah, this cover is pretty sweet too.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Steve McNiven cover, and he put his name in there. Lionel Hughes got one. Yeah, you know, I like a lot of what they've done in the last 10 years.
Yes.
We're going to talk about something I don't care about next, but I overall think that this has been beneficial to the Star Wars fans. The inclusions in the comics, I think, have been a lot more beneficial in ways than the whole Star Wars brand, definitely the prequel series, trilogy. So I don't know. I like that they're doing this with the comics, and that makes me excited.
Yeah. And then next up, we got Star Wars Jedi Knights number one, new ongoing series dropping in March of 25, written by Mark Guggenheim, with art by Matabek Musabekov. It's probably the best I've ever done with the name.
Failed it.
For sure. Marvel's first series focusing on the Guardians of Peace and Justice in the galaxy, the Jedi Knights. All your prequel Jedis are getting a little prequel to the Phantom Menace storyline. We've seen this in books. We've seen this many other ways. I'm more interested in seeing how they're going to really clean up what happened with the Acolyte and fill in that gap of between the time periods of the prequels and the Acolyte.
If it's 100 years, do you think they can? I mean, Acolyte...
Not in this.
Okay.
More interested in something like that
than
this.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. still, the time period... Like, how is the New Republic formed? You know what I mean? Like, we get it in some books, but
that's
like,
now.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, the Battle of Jakku is. Yeah, Battle of Jakku has been coming out right now. Okay. The first of three miniseries just dropped, which takes place right after Jedi, leading up to, you know, what is it, during the Aftermath trilogy, leading up to the Battle of Jakku. So the
Aftermath
finally
trilogy is canon, right?
Finally, yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yep. And so that's cool because there's so much unfarmed land there besides the Mandalorian things, but yes. There's way too much farmed land as far as what we know about the prequel Jedi already. And there's a new Mace Windu book. There's a lot of stuff there. People love it. People love that time period, but like, your initiative was the High Republic. So it's like, it's ending. You're phase three of the beginning of it. So what's next? You know, you got a lot of storytelling there. People are interested in it, you know, so stop giving us old stuff. Anyway. In the other galaxy.
Yeah.
Not so far away. Star Trek Academy, Starfleet Academy, has been renewed for season two already. And then we got a little news that Tatiana Maslany is joining season one. And this is a show I'm pretty excited for. This is a little bit of a spinoff of Discovery, which is interesting. I still haven't watched the fourth and fifth season of Discovery, which I need to do, but
So is this show out? When is it out?
No, it's not out yet. It's 2025.
Okay. All right. Well, you've got some, I love her, and I really do enjoy what they've been doing with Star Trek. Jeez, sure. Holly Hunter is supposed to be in it. Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
Cool.
The Doctor from Voyager is making it.
Yeah. Odette Fair.
Yeah. Well, Odette Fair has been in Discovery.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool. It'll be kind of interesting to see how they build out the Star Trek universe in the future. But we also are getting the Section 31 movie with Michelle Yeoh. We have a drop date of January 24th and a slew of posters for the new, I guess it's like an event series. It was going to be a show originally. Now it's like an extended movie event series. So I'm excited. The spy side of Star Trek is a lot of fun. We're waiting for Strange New World season three, which is incoming. Looks like Star Trek is back on the table.
That's right. Don't stop. I like what you've been doing. Keep it up.
Sure. And then last up in crowd sorcery, this is kind of neat. It's called Tecno Pocket Go. It's a controller. It's actually a full gaming PC. You got some AR glasses with it. And in the world of Steam Decks and other portability of your gaming, this is another step for that. Looks pretty cool. 54 days left to go. It's almost at $250,000 of, you know, $5,000 goal, but they knew they would hit that anyways. What do you think about this as we move into Ready Player One world?
That's interesting. It's okay. You know, these kinds of devices seem gimmicky at first. And then they could be revolutionary, you know, but if Nintendo did this, I'd be like, whoa, this is crazy. But this random Hong Kong company, I'm like, is it? Or is it just like one of those lame things I can buy on Amazon? So let's see what it turns out to be. It's a cool idea. Like, is it linked to your Steam account? You know what I mean? Like, I guess, like, how else are you playing it? It says there's adapters. You're kind of like looking at it. I don't know. Like, don't we already have the VR headsets? Can't they do the same thing as this?
Not in those cool like 80s glasses style.
Okay.
All right. Strap. You have to strap a computer to your face.
Computer in your hands, I guess is neat.
That's the kind of question. Like, can I take those glasses and hold my Steam Deck and play it right in front of my face? Like I already am. I don't know. This, you know, this is we're in the technology bubble right now of like what's going to be the most popular. A lot of spinoffs of other things that have been popular, and now they're making different versions of it. So I don't know. Like you said, innovative, maybe, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyways, it is a good time to go to commercial, and then we'll be right back with the rest of the show.
DFAT Comics is the publishing branch of DontForgetATowel.com, the only place to travel geekly. Focusing on creator-owned and independent titles like Hollowed, Pursuit of Plastic, and Fairy, and many more. DFAT Comics will be a mix of genres appealing to every kind of reader. Join the new source of comic book entertainment with DFAT Comics.
There the bugger is. She's a big one, ain't she? Oi! Over 20 points of articulation, great sculpting, and look at the paint job on her. We've been looking all over for this one. Let's get them in our sights and end this hunt now. All right. All right. Steady. Steady now. Got him! It's the Pursuit of Plastic. Listen to the podcast from the creators of DontForgetATowel.com. Geek out about toy news, hunting, and histories on your favorite collectibles.
From the far reaches of the galaxy to an internet location near you, we're DontForgetATowel.com, your daily source for geeky pop culture news, reviews, interviews, and so much more. So as you're hitchhiking your way through the universe, don't forget to travel safe, and don't forget a towel.
We are back from those informative commercials, and we're going to talk a little bit of Pursuit of Plastic. There has been a lot from Comic-Con, of course, with toys and always toys. But one of the biggest pieces of news is Big Bad Toy Store is hitting their 25th anniversary of supplying us with endless doodads for our shelves and collectibles that drain our wallets. And with it has come a bunch of cool exclusives that they've been dropping almost daily. And you can check those out at the link we're going to leave there. But one of my favorites here is the Four Horsemen exclusive Stavros the Unwavering. It's another of like a dragonborn type character. I bought one of these before. It was like a blue ice dragon one, and now I'll have an opposite with a little bit of a, like the Big Bad Toy Store red and black colors, and so that's up for pre-order right now. But along with that, we've gotten a lot of really other cool little exclusives for it, and one thing that I did unfortunately find are these new G.I. Joe Reaction Plus figures.
Yeah.
And one of the exclusives is the Crimson Guard two-pack with the twins in like their Cobra suits. And then when you open up the backpack, it's their costumes and stuff. So I was like, I'm going to get that one. And there's a lot of other cool stuff in here and more to come over the next couple of weeks. But, you know, congrats to the Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we've probably been using them about that length of time. You know, I remember the early days for geeks like us, like, yeah, we've been using them at least for as long as the site's been around as an affiliate. So congratulations on 25 years, and we will continue to buy things from you on a regular basis.
Yep. Get that pile of loot. Were you able to control yourself with the Mondo animated Spider-Man 1/6 line that they
I had to, man.
That's good. Not even just Spider-Man?
No, because I've already got such a commitment into that 6 scale. I can't do it. You know what I mean? It will destroy me. Because, not, you know, they've got that. They've got Batman. They've got X-Men. And all of them, just like, you know, with that, even the He-Man, every single one of them is fantastic looking. So I can't start down the road.
That's good. That's good self-control right there.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, this one came out. It was a time exclusive with some really neat pieces, as usual, that are added to the regular set. But, you know, like you said, they're not stopping. And, you know, my biggest problem with the Mochi one was, like, all of a sudden they're remaking them. And they're so expensive to begin with. That it's like, it's frustrating to be like, oh, well, you know what? We just made a better He-Man than you just bought. So such is collecting. Anyways, the Nacelle people have picked up the Star Trek license. And they announced, I don't know if it's a 6 or 7 inch series that they're going to be doing, but they just revealed the first 8 figures from it. And guess what? They're not the usual characters that they always do. And then a company will poop out after a couple because it's not popular enough. So Nacelle is taking an interesting approach to it. And they're actually doing all of Jeffrey Combs' characters from Star Trek. No, I'm just joking. But Jeffrey Combs, Wei-Yun is one of the figures. Captain Sulu, which I will be getting definitely.
Nice.
A Tuvok, Mir Archer. Captain Jaleco, Captain Garrett, Valkyris, and Peter Preston. Come on. I mean, this is really an interesting approach to starting off a series for collectors. And what do you think? I was kind of like taken back by this. You're not getting the Picard. You're not getting a Kirk, you know, things.
Do you know
like
what
that.
The price point is?
Under 30, I read.
Okay. I think that this scratches an itch for Star Trek collectors fans that have never been scratched before. Because like you said, most lines peter out on Star Trek. They just stop. So this is an interesting approach. And I think if you're a hardcore Star Trek fan, this is, you know, seeing Sulu, you know, is an A-team, you know, character. So, yeah, I think this is a great idea. And I'm interested to see how long the toy line lasts, because, you know, notoriously it doesn't.
Exactly. And it's like Playmates was the big one in the 90s, right, where they just had all of this figure, all they did so many, and then they tried to do it again and it just failed. I don't know if they just were only going to do one series or whatever, but I'm sure they weren't. It would be nice to finally get characters that we've never seen. Well, we've probably seen some of them in plastic form, but not in modern days. So I'm excited also to see where this goes. Something I'm not excited about is how much this X-Mansion Lego set costs and how much I want it. But, you know, Marvel and Lego continue to put out these amazing buildings from their world. And the X-Mansion is on the top of my list of ones I would love to build.
Yeah, it's... you know, so it's an extra $40 than some of these big sets have been. They're normally around 300. This is 330. So to be honestly, with all the minifigures, a Sentinel, the rooms, like this to me seemed like a lower price. I was thinking it was going to be Daily Bugle style $499. That's what I thought it was going to be. So this to me, I was like, bit game over.
No, for sure. I the scale of it, when you look at it compared to the other ones, it is smaller. I mean, it's big, but it's like, you can look at the difference, like the Daily Bugle and the number of figures it offered, and the size of it comparatively is probably another $100, definitely in Lego, you know, gold pricing. But yeah, I mean, this is amazing, and it would be a really nice centerpiece for a shelf. So
yeah, plus they have those little stands that they put the characters on for flyers.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. There is no way I will not have this. I already told my family, you know, my birthday's next week. They're like, what do you want? I go, I'm just going to get the Lego X Mansion. So if you just want to give me money, just like they got, like the other huge one I had was like the Home Alone house. Now it was very elaborate compared to this, but that price point was 300 or more. I can't remember. Sure. Yeah. So this seems fine to me.
I mean, this is some really, I mean, it has rooms. It has like, yeah. You know, it opens up. So, yeah. Yep. Yep. X-Men fans, save your money and don't buy your family Christmas presents.
Yeah. Be smart about it.
Next up, we were just talking about the Justice League versus Monsterverse comics. McFarlane's getting in on the fun with a Batman Kong 2-pack, which means we'll probably see a Godzilla Superman 2-pack at some point. The scale here is funny because I thought they had made a smaller Batman figure to go with this, and I'm still confused on how it works because I've seen different looks at these so far, and I thought I saw a really small Batman, which would be awesome with a Kong figure. This Kong figure looks great, and I would love to add this to my Monsterverse shelf. So what do you think about this?
I think it's clever photography as far as the scaling goes. I think it's a 6-inch Batman, and I think it's probably an 8-inch Kong, 9-inch Kong. So regardless, it's cool. You know, is it as cool as like the NECA Kong? I don't know. I like the idea, the concept as a 2-pack. I just don't know if like that Kong figure to me is kind of lame. So
do you know who's doing the best job with monster figures now is Hiya. Hiya's is like kicking the crap out of like SH Monster Arts and whoever else is trying to make these figures, but the price point and the look of them and what you get with them, mm-hmm. Hiya's the way to go, I think. But
like, I'll say one other thing, just because you said Hiya, there's a new company. Well, it's not new, but the company's Jazzwares,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing anime figures for Target and Walmart that are $17 that easily rival the Bandai stuff. And I was like, these companies, we've been saying it for years, like, don't think that you're sacred because there's that other HK Zero company that's going to start putting out those Marvel figures at 1/12 scale, or sorry, at 1/6 scale, that look insane, and they are $199. So, you know what I mean? I just think, you know, we'll talk about the next company too, because they did some cool stuff. But even McFarlane, you know, he's in at a good price point. But these people like Marvel Legends, if you start creeping up further to the $35 range, or even Nacelle, or, you know, Super 7 does their own thing. But like, there's companies that are coming in cheaper and at times better. And they need to start figuring that out.
Right. Because once that license is open, like, you have to adapt. You can't just be, we are Marvel Legends and we're going to keep putting our prices up, you know? So no, 100% agree with that. The next thing is all these reveals from Mezco at NYCC. And let's just run through it. We got the finally getting a classic Thor figure, which looks amazing. Samurai Jack, Doc Savage, another Conan, some really weird, like, Rumble Society figures, Wolverine from Deadpool and Wolverine.
And Deadpool.
Yes, Deadpool was announced previously. And just more Doc Nocturnal stuff, including his vehicle. So, you know, we were just saying, like, what's going on with Mezco and why aren't they putting out more stuff? And all of a sudden it's like, hey, here, guys, here's the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. You know, a couple more Gomez figures. The Agent Gomez ones look pretty good. But we also have RumbleCon coming up. So, like, Mezco's not stopping. But as a Doc Nocturnal fan, I was happy to see what they released too. Very happy about it.
Yeah, the crustacean gangsters finally, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
all the good. We'll leave that link in there to their Instagram so you can take a look at all the cool stuff that they're dropping for you. All right, let's jump over to TV streaming news. James Wan is at it again. This time we're getting a RoboCop TV show. Your take on
awesome.
This?
Awesome.
There we go.
That's it. I mean, I don't even need to see a preview for this. I'm a huge RoboCop fan, even of shitty sequels and shitty video games. And I'm fine with this. You know, TV show sounds great. I can't wait. Keep the Verhoeven level of violence, which I would believe James Gunn would do, or James Wan would do.
James Wan.
James Gunn would do.
He would too. He would too.
Yeah.
With the laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still need to play that video game. I'm still waiting it to be super cheap and just to try that out. So yeah, RoboCop is back. Okay. Max has picked up a new deal to expand its anime catalog, and it's with Unext. This is something I think that's good for the company. Netflix has been dominating it with their what they've put out, what they've acquired, and more. So Max has to do something. So this is a good step.
Yeah. Right now it's really Netflix and Crunchyroll and that's it. So, you know, more diversity is fine. You know, they've got a couple Japanese anime titles over at DC, but I think this is awesome because I think it means more originals. Maybe they'll get their own Blue-Eyed Samurai, which I know is not anime, but it's amazing.
I mean, call it what they want to call it. There's so many different.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. If it's not made in Japan, it's not.
Oh, whatever. Right. Maxime, as we also call it. Next up, apparently the She-Ra live action series is moving forward, and we have Heidi Schreck, who's going to write it. So now what do we got? We got He-Man and She-Ra over at Amazon. Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're getting somewhere, I think. So
yeah. you know, I will see what this means. Like, honestly, it's supposed to be a series, so that's interesting because does that mean a different kind of world building? You know what I mean? Does that mean that we're doing some DC type stuff where you get the live action as well as the big screen versus small screen and some crossover there?
That really makes me just question, like, they keep trying to make a He-Man show or a He-Man movie. And it's like, would a He-Man do better as an event series, like a mini series movie? Like, what are you going to try to cram stuff into a 2-hour block when you should be telling more of an epic? Which we'll probably see with a She-Ra show if they do it along that format. So I'm excited. I just hope it comes true. So we've been waiting a long time for it. Anyways.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Stephen King, we're looking at his fantasy epic Fairy Tale, which was supposed to be a film at first. It's going to be a 10 episode series now. I didn't even know this had dropped. This is from 2022, Stephen King book. So I might be checking that out. And we got J.H. Wyman as the showrunner. Director Paul Greengrass. He was involved in the original movie. Still aboard. So it looks like they're just going to expand the storytelling, which honestly, with Stephen King, like we just said about Salem's Lot, it needs to happen.
Yeah, I haven't read it. This is probably going to make me read it. So, but 10, you know, series, I guess it depends, you know, on how they do it. But I'm excited that it's fantasy.
For sure. Speaking of fantasy, Dune Prophecy is coming soon. It's set 10,000 years before the ascension of Paul Atreides. So we're going to see a lot of cool storytelling here. This trailer that just came out was amazing. Don't watch it. Just wait for the show to drop. But we'll leave the link in there if you do want to watch it.
Yeah, I'm that's it. You know, I'm already in. I don't need to see more. I can totally I'm ready for it. More Dune. Give me more Dune.
Absolutely. Moving over to the movie side of things, Scream 7. Scream has been in some development hell since our stars that were they were building up the whole storyline around unfortunately departed or were departed. But guess what? Neve Campbell is returning. And now we have a release date of February 27th, 2026. Thoughts?
Seems an extraordinary long time to make a movie that probably has zero CGI in it or doesn't need to. Like, it's an annoyance of most horror fans. And I think it's a reason why The Terrifier is getting so popular, even though I think it's stupid, just me personally. But it's because that character keeps showing up all the time on a yearly basis. And that's what they used to do with Freddy and Jason. And even Scream for a while was pretty steady. You know what I mean? So I don't know why this is going to take 2 years to come out instead of just getting shot in January and coming out in September, October, which is what a normal horror movie would do. But fine. You know, I'm a Scream fan and I love Neve Campbell coming back, even though, again, does she need to? So I'll see it. I'll see it probably day one.
No, of course. Of course. Yeah. Next up, we have live action Voltron. Now, this is another Amazon series, if I'm not mistaken. Movie. And so we got Daniel Quintoya and Henry Cavill have joined the cast. And this is what Henry Cavill's doing while he's waiting for Warhammer 40K to be made.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's it. That's it.
Listen, I love Voltron.
I love too. I do. And I think the new Voltron that is on Netflix, they did a really good job with that. And if this is, you know, similar in the sense it's going to take place entirely not on Earth, I'm totally fine. I'm excited to see what they do with this. And Henry Cavill's always, you know, a delight.
Speaking of waiting to see what they're going to do with this, they've announced that Shinobi, the classic video game, is going to get a screen treatment from Sam Hargrave. And a lot of funny stuff I see is like, it's, I will not accept any Shinobi movie unless there's like some rip off creatures from other franchises fighting each other, having ninjas fight them, which is such a Shinobi thing. But you know what? I love Shinobi. It's spawned what over 10 games in the past, you know, few decades and 40 years. And so what do you think about this in a world that just wants to keep making video game movies? I mean, this is just it's a ninja movie. So I'm in it.
That's kind of it, man. You know, it's a ninja movie. It's the one thing that I'll say, though, is it's going to be for Universal, but it's in conjunction with Sega. And Sega has done an insanely good job with Sonic. I'm wondering if it is going to be a little bit more video gamey. You know, maybe a kid gets put into the character. You know what I mean? Something like that, which now that I said it out loud would be awesome because it'd be great if some kid just learns how to become a ninja. So maybe I'll write that version. But regardless, I'm in. Sam Hargrave, he's a good director. I really like he's, you know, stunt guy on the Avengers stuff. And he did those movies with what are those new movies with Chris Hemsworth?
Extraction. Oh, Extraction, yes.
Both awesome. Yes. So, yeah. Yeah, good guy.
It's funny. I think you just took the plot of, what was it, Gran Turismo, with that movie they just came out with where they put kids into the video game.
That was a real story.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. this yeah. could be a real story.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Speaking of martial arts, but we got our first look at the poster for Karate Kid Legends. Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan are teaming up to train Ben Wang. I couldn't be more excited, except I have still not watched the latest season of Cobra Kai, which I need to do. So
I'm going to wait because it ends, I think, in January or something like that, the full thing. But I do want to watch this trailer. I didn't, just ran out of time, forgot about it. But I read the plot line. Cool. You know, this is great. I'm totally happy about this. I was happy when we talked about the announcement, and I will be there to watch this for sure.
I didn't know there was a trailer.
Yeah, maybe they just showed it at Comic-Con.
Okay. I was wondering, too, because usually they'll drop, like, a trailer with a poster.
No, there's a trailer.
Yeah. Oh, cool. We'll watch yesterday. We'll watch that.
Link. Put it in there, guys.
Put that link in there. And I will watch it after the show. Next up, we have The Lot adaptation. I asked you pre-show, what is The Lot, Casey?
The Lot is an upcoming Akilah Cooper, who's done a lot of new horror stuff. But basically, it was a 4-issue comic book series put out from Bad Idea, written by Marguerite Bennett, who did Catwoman, drawn by Renato Guedes. I'm probably saying that wrong. But yeah, it's going to be set within Hollywood. Akilah Cooper did Malignant and Megan. And
hell yeah.
Yeah, more comic, fun stuff, and I'm down, you know? I'm excited to see what else we see, and this is great for Bad Idea because I'm actually shocked they haven't gotten some sort of announcement long before this, but let's see this. Horror is a lot easier to make than some other things, so.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And speaking of horror and more fun, we're just going to run through these next few here. We'll leave the links in here. These are all a bunch of cool trailers that have just dropped. Sinners dropped maybe 3 weeks ago, so it's not as new, but it's worth talking about the upcoming Ryan Coogler horror movie, which I just informed you was about vampires and you lost your shit. Yeah, it looks great. Michael B. Jordan team it up once again, and a totally opposite of Creed or Black Panther or anything like that. So it's like, this really took me surprise when I watched it. And I can't wait to see this movie.
I just think Ryan Coogler is like probably one of the coolest dudes to talk to. Like, he's got some ideas, man. You know, I like to see him write a comic or something. So yeah, good guy. Good trailer. I'm in.
Cool. Werewolves. The new trailer for that just dropped. It looks bonkers. Frank Grillo is back.
That's it.
Shooting things and being a badass. And this movie looks insane, like jaw dropping insane when I watched the trailer. So we got vampires, we got werewolves. It's like the 90s are back again. Like they never went anywhere. So
practical. I'm really excited. Yeah. I mean, you know, Frank Grillo, I'm in. One of the other things that's really great is it's practical effects. There is some CGI, but I don't know who the effects team is. I'll, you know, probably see it when I see the movie. But yeah, very excited to see some I don't think we've seen a werewolf practical effect thing since maybe Dog Soldiers, just like 20 something years ago, like that Neil Marshall movie.
The werewolves in this remind me of I think that either that or another movie of werewolves.
Or American Werewolf. Or no, I know what you're saying. Like when they look cool in Underworld, but they are CGI.
Right.
Yeah, definitely Dog Soldiers.
Right, exactly. And speaking of werewolves, we have the new Blumhouse the werewolf. Wolfman is coming out. It's by Lee Whannell, who gave us the amazing Invisible Man, very surprising Invisible Man movie. And like I said in the last show, that tease, like that Hollywood Horror Nights or whatever that goofy looking werewolf is, I'm sure that's like some point of his transformation, but they're not giving us the whole thing. This trailer is a lot of fun. It's really creepy. And I'm really excited for this monsterverse that they're making with just more like low budget and the scares. So check that trailer out.
Yeah, I did. And I don't think they're going to use that design. If they do, I think that's a little, you know, we'll see, but we'll see. Cause some of these things is all about context, you know, and I'm not going to judge something based off of zero context. The trailer really doesn't give you any idea of what you're getting in for. So I trust Lee Whannell. That's it. You know, he's got a great track record in horror as far as I'm concerned. So I'm fine with this.
For sure. You know who has a really good track record? The Russo brothers. And I just watched the Electric State trailer and it kind of blew my mind. this is coming to Netflix, which is even better. I mean, I would love to see this on the big screen, but the ability to watch this right away at home is exciting as well. This is such a sci-fi looks like a feel-good movie. A lot of famous people in this one. So take a look at this trailer. It hit me by surprise.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it takes place in alternate 90s, mm-hmm. you know, which is cool. I don't need to see another Chris Pratt thing, but I also like Chris Pratt.
Sure.
It was exactly fine. And I like Millie Bobby Brown, and I like the feeling of this. So I don't know if you ended up watching. Did you watch the trailer for The Legend of Oki?
No, A24
movie?
Not yet.
Yeah, I'll put it in there too. It's another good looking movie, like another one of these like kid feel good, but it's a bit more Gremlins and E.T. So it's even more Amblin feeling. So I like that we're getting these vibes lately.
And then the last trailer here is The Monkey, which is based on a Stephen King short story. Another trailer that kind of took me by surprise, and I had a couple of jaw drop during it. It's just super creepy. And it's that time of year where I'm just, you know, really excited for this stuff. So I can't wait to see this because I love Stephen King stuff.
I do too. And it's, you know, it's produced by James Wan. I think the thing is, why are they, you know, why do they not release horror movies in October anymore?
Right. Hey, kids, it's Christmas.
Oh, it's February. It's March. Which is fine. They've done it for years, too.
Sure.
But it's just they've really gotten away from horror movies being in September and October. It's very weird to me. Like even Terrifier 3 is technically a Christmas movie. It's very strange why they do this. So anyways, I want to see it.
Yes. Me too, but you're right. There should be a goddamn horror movie coming out every week in October.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
At least two. and then finally, I just found my VHS player as I was cleaning my room the other day. Just in time, because on December 3rd, you can own Alien Romulus on limited edition VHS.
I love it.
Right?
I love it so much. I think it's a great idea. The art by Max Ferguson, and he's been doing some crazy posters throughout the years. He's done some Dune, he's done Transformers 1, he's done variants of, you know, the episode 1 25th anniversary poster. Like, he's not Drew Struzan, but he's doing stuff to make you, you know, it's giving you those nostalgic vibes. So yeah, the poster is epic. I would actually own this poster for Romulus. It's really cool, and you know, it's a dumb thing, this VHS, but I'll buy it because I just think it's fantastic. And if they do a bundle, that's what I'd really like, just to get it all together
for sure. Yeah, I've been, it's crazy because like even with like Wolverine or Deadpool Wolverine, it's like, hey, you want to get your Steelbook? Here, it's $60 pre-order. Blah, blah, blah. Everything is so, and I know these prices come down.
Yeah,
but it's like at this point, it's crazy how much things are being priced out right now. I saw something VOD was like $30 the other day, and I'm just like, okay, we got to figure this out, because it's something like this. How much are they going to charge for it? Is it in that article?
Oh, no, it doesn't say.
Right? It's like, yeah. Oh. And a bundle, I'm sure it's going to be close to $100. So, anyways, let's jump over to gaming. Last part of the show here. Just a few things. Assassin's Creed Shadows has been pushed to February of 2025, which we always say is not a bad thing.
Especially if you're an Ubisoft game.
Right, exactly. Enough internet hate around it and more as usual. So I'm looking forward to it because I love games set in Japan. And I couldn't be more excited than the next announcement, which is the Ghost of Yotai, the sequel to Ghost of Tsushima. Listen, that the first game looked beautiful enough on PS4. The PS5 upgrade for that is astounding. Now, a game made for PS5, like from what I've seen already, it's gorgeous. And I can't wait to return to my samurai ways.
Is it a samurai? Like, listen, I've avoided it because I was like, oh, isn't it Sucker Punch who does it? I love Sucker Punch games, you know, so I just have no reason not to like Ghost of Tsushima, right?
Yep.
Is it good?
It's, I mean, you have to like those open world games. And so that's really it. And it's, I mean, I think you would like it. It's based a lot in reality, and then it has some cool, like, you know, like Japanese legend stuff that is tied into it. It looks beautiful. And it's, the fighting is a lot of fun in it. It takes practice, but it is straight up samurai fighting. So
yeah.
I think you enjoy it.
Okay. Cool.
Last up, we got a special announcement that we're getting an Alien Isolation sequel. After Fede Alvarez used some very cool nods to the game in Alien Romulus, the same day they announced this, we got a cool Sega Lo-Fi Girl collab with some cool Lo-Fi synth wave alien music with, check it out. I'll put a link in for that as well. But I am very excited for this because Alien Isolation set the bar for alien games once again. You know, we've had some hit and misses, or more misses than not. But this first person romp and horror video game hiding and stealthiness was just the way to do it. The AI in that was amazing, how smart that alien was. Yeah. And I really can't wait to see it in next gen. I mean, I bought it for Steam Deck, the original, because it was on sale, and I was like, I'm gonna play this again, and I want it on my Steam Deck. So I love that game, and I can't wait for its sequel.
Yeah, this is a special little treat. Kind of out of left field, you know, it wasn't Alien Day or anything. So, but cool. I don't know why it took, what is it, 10 years? I think I watched you play that down in the city. And you know, so hey, better late than never, right?
It's never too late, Casey. That's never right. Too late. But anyways, it's getting late. So Casey, where can you find us?
You can find us on DFATENT on all of the social medias, or don'tforgetatowel.com, the only place to travel geekly, or DFAT Entertainment. This is Casey saying, go read your comics.
And this is Chris saying, don't forget to tell.